Turn in your Bible this morning, please, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodia and beseech Syntyche. I said in the first service that one guy couldn't pronounce these and he called them odious and stinky. That'd probably be a little closer than what I came, okay? That they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I treat you all, and I treat thee also, true yoke fellow. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Come down to verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Verse 19. But my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God always blesses the reading of his word. Let's pause in just a moment of prayer. Father, might it please you this morning to minister to our hearts. And Lord, may we be in a place where you can do within us today what you want to do, and then, Lord, be able to do through us to the lives of others. We love you. We thank you. In Christ's precious name, amen. Paul the Apostle, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church at Philippi. The church at Philippi, according to Acts 16, was founded and established by Paul and his companions. Matter of fact, it started with a group of women down by the riverside and ended up with the jailkeeper and his wife and family coming to Christ. Paul and Silas were thrown in prison, and at midnight they prayed and sang praises to God. And I said, their singing must be something like mine because it caused an earthquake. And God sent an earthquake that night and shook all Philippi. And that was the founding of the church at Philippi. So years later, writing from his imprisonment, he was not in a jail per se. He had his own hired house, but he had a soldier chained to him around the clock. And they often say, how'd you like to be unsaved and chained to the Apostle Paul for 6 hours? I mean, there's no way you're going. You're going to hear the gospel, right? And so writing from this imprisonment, he writes to the church of Philippi, and the entire four chapters of the epistle basically is centered in the joy of the Lord. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. What's the next word? Okay, when I pause, you fill in the blanks. Okay, ready? Rejoice in the Lord. And then he said, in case you missed it, and again I say, rejoice. So he writes concerning the joy of the Lord. So in the midst of that, in the midst of those situation, that experience, to be able to write concerning joy, okay? Then he also says here to the believers in Philippi, be careful, the King James used the word careful, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't get all uptight. In other words, don't worry yourself into a nervous frenzy, okay? He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then he says this in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There are two aspects of peace in the Word of God. There's peace with God. Every saved person has that. Okay, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Every saved person is on peace terms with Almighty God because of the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus, who purchased peace through his death on the cross. But thank God the grave couldn't hold him, and he arose, right? So he says, let the peace of God reign and rule in your hearts and minds. In other words, let your life be totally under the control of the peace of Almighty God. Then you get down to verse number 11, and he says this. He says, I've learned something. Now, this is some 30 years after his salvation, having experienced many trials and tribulations in life. Here's what he said he learned. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am. Didn't matter if it's in Maine, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, California. No. I've learned in whatever condition I am, whatever circumstance, listen to it. I've learned therewith to be content. Wow. Listen to that again. Verse 11, I have learned in whatever state I am, whatever condition, whatever circumstance, therewith to be content. Can you say it? Can I say this morning, I have learned? Can we even say I'm learning? Can we even say I am willing to learn in whatever state I am, therewith to be content? I know what some people say, yeah, but the Apostle Paul didn't live in 2023, okay? He didn't have to face all the stuff and messes that we face today. Well, you go to 2 Corinthians 11 when you get a chance, and you just read some of the things that the Apostle Paul faced. Shipwrecks, stoning, left for dead, imprisonments, and yet he says this, it doesn't matter to me, whatever the circumstance, the situation, I have learned to be content. According to Philippians, there are basically at least four joy robbers in the life of the Christian. If you know Jesus Christ this morning as your personal Savior, absolutely sure, beyond any shadow of a doubt, if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Say amen. That was pathetic. I'm going to give you one more try. If you say, well, you didn't give us warning. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. Hey, that was a lot better. Okay. Now, listen. Okay. There are certain things that rob Christians of contentment. What is contentment? Fulfillment, satisfaction. Contentment is synonymous with the peace of God. See, peace with God, every saved person has. The peace of God, you could have that this morning and not have it this afternoon. See, the peace of God is that contentment. It's that fulfillment, that satisfaction. And that I'm not talking, when I talk about contented Christians, I'm not talking about being content with your service for the Lord. And if, I'm talking about just being content with Jesus. Okay? Just being content with what I have in Christ. So there are at least four joy robbers in the book of Philippians. First one, it's in chapter 1, circumstances. Paul says, the things that have happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. Now, circumstances can rob you of the joy of the Lord. And I know all you have to do is you think back in your life or even present tense right now, right? Some circumstances that have come your way have happened to you. Have you ever been to a spot in life where you might not have verbalized this, but you're really thinking, Lord, do you have a clue what's going on in my life right now? You know, where are you, Lord? Okay. Well, he knows he's on duty, right? 24/7. But have you ever had an experience of circumstance in your life? Could have been a tragedy, whatever it may be. You say, praise God, I've never had any. Cheer up, you will, right? So circumstances. Now, circumstances ought to just cause me to rely more on Christ. But Paul said in Philippians 1, the things which happened to me, they fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. So I'm not going to allow circumstances to rob me of my contentment in Christ. I wonder, might there be someone this morning and you've allowed a circumstance or circumstances in the past or even in the present that may rob you of the joy of the Lord, contentment. Secondly, chapter 2, he says another joy robber is not just circumstances and things that happen to you, but people. People. Couldn't we have a wonderful time in the church of God if it weren't for people? You know, to live above for the saints you love, oh, that'd be glory. But to live below with the saints you know, well, that's another story. Okay? And I tell people all the time, if you're saved, you may not like me, but you better learn to love me. You know why? You're going to have to put up with me for all eternity. I'll haunt you forever. What's he say in chapter 2? Look not everyone on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. So you see, if you're going to know real peace, real contentment, you do not allow circumstances or people. Don't look at people even for what they are. Don't even look at them for what they were. See them for what they can be by the grace of God. And then thirdly, he says, not only circumstance and people, chapter 3. He said, you know what else can rob you of contentment? Things. Now, there's nothing wrong with having things. The problem is when things have you. And sometimes we say, if I just had this, I'd be content. We get this, we want that. There's no satisfaction, there's no contentment in things. See, you use things for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, but they'll never satisfy. Matter of fact, the song says, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. You see, when God created you and me, he created us a living soul. And that soul will never find its satisfaction, contentment, and fulfillment till it finds it in the one who created us, Jesus Christ. So, things, Paul said in chapter 3, what things were gained to me, I counted but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, and I count all things but loss that I may win Christ. Fourth joy robber, okay? First one is circumstances. Second one's people. Third one's things. The fourth one, worry. That's right here in chapter 4. That's where he says, don't be anxious. Don't be careful. And I know, I can tell you right now what some of you are thinking. I do not worry. I am just concerned. And you know, sometimes there's a thin line between worry and concern. But you see, worry is a sin because worry takes it out of God's hand and puts it in our hand. And the little chorus, we used to sing it a lot years ago, why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, he'll lead the way. Don't be a doubting Thomas, lean fully on his promise. Why worry, worry, worry when you can pray? Some people worry because they can't find anything to worry about. Are you allowing worry? Now, we came out of COVID, okay? How am I going to word it? I'm alarmed, I'm shocked, and I'm hurt. But what I've seen some of professing Christians allowed COVID to do in their lives, okay? And but for the grace of God, there could be I. But it's sad, folks, when some kind of a germ out of a laboratory in Wuhan, China, could end up affecting the walk, the talk, the life, the spirit, and the attitude of a child of God. I want to tell you, my God's much bigger than that. And during COVID, I formed a motto. I've now made it my permanent motto. My motto is this: our God is working an eternal plan, and he's completely on schedule. Our God is working an eternal plan, and he's completely on schedule. The only thing is, he hasn't given us the total schedule. And every once in a while, I meet a preacher who thinks God gave it to them, but he really hasn't. Okay? No man knows the day nor the hour in which he's coming, but I know this, he is coming. And I also know this, the Bible says when you see all these things happening, you better lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. Folks, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but Revelation says one of these days a door is going to open in heaven and a voice is going to say, come on up. I think you might have the knob about half turned. And I don't know about you, but I want to be living every moment of every hour of every day in the light of eternity. I want to be found faithful when he comes. So worry. No, worry takes it out of God's hand, puts it in my hand. So Am I allowing any of these things, circumstance, people, things, worry, to rob me of the joy of the Lord? I trust not. Okay? So, Paul said, I've learned to be content. Question. What made Paul a contented Christian? What made Paul a contented Christian? And if we could find out what made Paul a contented Christian, I think there'd be some lessons that would help you and help me to be a contented Christian. Number one, Paul said, I've learned to be content because, I love this, I've learned to be content, he says, because the record is permanent. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, whose names are in the book. Whose names are in the... Paul said, listen, my name is in God's book. I have a relationship with Almighty God, and my God's not working on me just for today. My God's getting me ready for all eternity. So whatever's happening in your life or mine today is just part of God's divine program to make me more like the Lord Jesus. From the moment you get saved, if you know him personally, from the moment you get saved until today, you know what God's main job is in your life and in mine? To make me just like Jesus. You imagine what job Almighty God's got on his hand to make me like Jesus? Well, don't smile. You hardly know me. You imagine what a job he's got to make you like Jesus? That's what he's doing, folks, every day. Now, Christian, are you more like Jesus today than you were last Sunday? Are you more like Jesus this morning than you've ever been before? If you're saved, your name's in the book. See, in Revelation 20, we have a picture of the great white throne judgment. And the great white throne judgment is for the unsaved. And it says that that judgment, the books will be opened, and they're going to be judged according to what's written in the books. In other words, God is keeping records. And God's records do not need to be edited. Okay? They don't need to be checked. They're accurate. They're perfect. Then it says another book, singular, was opened. Then it says this. It's Revelation 20. Whoever's name was not found in that book will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Folks, there is a heaven. And folks, there is a hell. And there's only two groups of people in all the world today. Those who are on the way to heaven, those who are on the way to hell. No and ifs or buts about it. So listen, make sure your name's in the book. An old hymn says, is my name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom is my name written there? And then the last verse, the chorus says, yes, my name is written. Has there been a day and a time and a place when you came personally to Almighty God in person of Jesus Christ and said, oh God, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin has come between me and you. I know that sin's wages is death. I know Jesus died on the cross, paid for my sin. He rose again. I know he's the only one that the holy God can take the hand of a holy God, the hand of a helpless sinner, and reconcile God and the sinner. And he did it at the cross 2,000 years ago. Lord, I'm so glad I know you personally. See, you need to know that day. Now, you may not remember the exact date on the calendar, but you better be sure of the experience. And you better know. By the way, if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ personally, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. And I've got great news for you. God loves you. You know how much he loved you? He gave the best he had. He gave his only begotten son. And the Lord Jesus loved you, that he said, no one takes my life from me. I got power to lay it down. I got power to take it again. And on that cross, as they spit in his face, as they mocked, as they laughed, as they slapped him, as they drove those spikes into his hands and his feet, as they drove that spear into his side, he looked in the face of his heavenly Father. He looked down the corridors of time to that crowd around the cross, down to this congregation this morning. And here's what he said. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's Calvary love. That's the love of God. And thank God, OK? Okay, Paul said, I've learned to be content because the record's permanent. I know him. He's mine. My eternal destiny is settled, and God's not working on me just for the second day of July, 2023. God's getting me ready for all eternity. Secondly, Paul said, I've learned to be content, not only because the record is permanent. He said the Redeemer is present. Look at verse 5. He says, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Now, if you read commentators and so on Philippians, many of them will say that that statement, the Lord is at hand, is a prophetic statement and has to do with the coming again of our Lord, and that coming is at hand. They're probably correct. However, I see something different here. Let me ask you a question. When someone is at hand, where are they? Folks, you answer the questions, I'll get done a lot sooner. If someone is at hand, where are they? Right there. I believe when Paul said in Philippians 4:5, the Lord is at hand, you know what he's saying? He's right there. How often? 24/7. When you get up this morning, the Lord was there. He was at hand. You came here, he's at hand. He's there while you're here, and he'll be here while you're there. The presence of Almighty God. You know what we need to do in order to really enjoy the blessing of the Lord? To really enjoy contentment? We need to learn to practice his presence. Now, any of you who have had the misfortune of hearing me before have probably seen me pull this little slip of paper out of my Bible. And if you have the privilege or misfortune of hearing me again, you may see me pull it out again. Over 50 years ago, I wrote some verses on here. I know it was over 50 because I was 7 years old when I wrote these on here. Okay, that was a joke, because you didn't get. Over 50 years ago, I wrote some verses on here practicing the presence of God. If this can't make you content, nothing will. Genesis 17:1. God said to Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Question, if Abraham's walking before God, where's God? Hello? Thank you. He's behind me. So number one, I got God behind me to back me up. In Deuteronomy 13:4, the Bible says thou shalt walk after the Lord your God. Question, if I'm walking after God, where's God? He's before me. So I got God before me to guide me. I got him behind me to back me up. Now, Psalm 91:1 says, I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So if I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, where's God? He's above me. So again, before me to guide me, behind me to back me up, and above to protect me. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, underneath are the everlasting arms. So where's God? He's below me. So I got him before me to guide me, behind me to back me up, below to support me, and above to protect. Genesis 5:24 says Enoch walked with God. Genesis 6:9 says Noah walked with God. If you're walking with someone, where are they? Right beside you. Okay? So listen. Before me to guide me, behind me to back me up, below to support, above to protect, either side to fellowship with. But now if you're saved today, the Bible says in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Galatians 2:20 says, Christ lives in me. So where's God? He's in me. So he's before me to guide me, behind me to back me up, below to support, above to protect, either side to fellowship, and he lives within as a constant companion. Do you think you could be content? But there's one more. Psalm 34, verse 7. It says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. So where's God? He's all around me. Is there any wonder Paul said, I've learned to be content? He said, the Redeemer's present. The Lord's at hand. How many times has God forsaken you since you got saved? Oh, he never has? Why are you so uptight? What are you worrying about? Can't we trust him? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Contented Christian. Thirdly, Paul said, I've learned to be content, not only because the record's permanent and Redeemer's present. Get ready for this one. He said, I've learned to be content because the redeemed are precious. He said, you want to know what makes me a contented Christian? My fellow believers. And I know what some of you are thinking. That's what's got me so uptight. Those fellow believers, right? Oh, those Christians, they irk me to no end, drive me right up the jolly wall. Take a look at how Paul referred to his fellow members of the body of Christ. Look at verse number 1. He says, my brethren, my dearly beloved, my longed for, my joy, my crown, my dearly beloved. Then he had to speak to Odious and Stinky. But then notice he says, true yoke fellow. Notice next verse, my fellow laborers. And then a little later, he says, you Philippians, when no one else got in touch with me, you sent more than once under my necessity. I want to tell you something, folks. We've got some problems in the family of God. We've got some problems in the church of God, believers. But I want to tell you something. God's got a lot of wonderful people. God's got a lot of wonderful people. 1975, my wife and I left the pastorate, started traveling in this ministry of local church evangelism. Okay? I decided I would not request a meeting. I have no problem with those who do. If God wanted us to go, he'd open the doors. He'd give the opportunities. I figured that we'd be mostly in the New England states, the Maritimes, being from New Brunswick originally. I figured that would be a ministry, and I would have been totally happy with that. But God has seen fit in these close to 48 years now. God has seen fit to open doors literally around the world. And we've had the joy of sharing this glorious gospel on 6 continents of the world, only because of the goodness of the hand of God. But not only that, I left the pastorate with a regular salary and a place to live, didn't have a home, and didn't have any salary. But you take a look at me, don't look like I'm starving, does it? That was not a joke. Okay, you know what he's done? He's met our every need. And you know what else? I said, Lord, this way back in 1975, we're going to operate a debt-free ministry. And the day comes that we can, I'll know you've got something else for us to do. We've never faced 1 month in nearly 48 years when we had to close the books with debt to the glory of God. That's the kindness, that's the generosity of God's people. So Paul said, I really appreciate my fellow believers. Thank God today for fellow believers. Maybe there's someone today God wants to use you to be an encouragement in their life. I've learned, whatever state I am, to be content. Can you say I've learned? Can you say I'm learning? Can you say I'm willing to learn? Just got one more, so you can relax, okay? Pastor told me to finish 5 minutes before the next service, so I'll try to do that. Here's the next one. The record's permanent. Redeemer's present. The redeemed are precious. He said, I've learned to be content because the resources are powerful. Look at verse 13. I can do. I can do. Can we all say that? Ready?
I can do.
Ladies?
I can do.
Guys, you've had time enough to learn it. Guys?
I can do.
Everybody, one time. I
can.
Could you teach this class? Oh, I can't. Could you get involved in it? Oh, no, I can't. Could you do? Oh, no, I can't. I can do. Now get it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, Christian, lay hold of that this morning. Lay hold of that. With Christ in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. So, thank God. All strength. Now look at verse 19. Verse 19 is all supply. Got it? All supply. That's what he basically says. Look at it. He says very simply, my God shall supply what? All you need, not your wants. Sometimes you need to get our wanders repaired, but God will supply every need. Now, put it in the light of the context. He said, you Philippians have supplied my need, so my God will be faithful in supplying yours. So the resources are powerful. We have a God who's ever on duty, who's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we could ask or think. So therefore, we can live in a godless, Christless world, and everything today seems to be, sad to say, in our nation, anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-moral, and anti-Bible. And it's about time the Church of Jesus Christ stood up and was counted. And if go ahead and give the Lord a hand. And so often we're sitting idly by, and God has been so good to us. God has been so good to us. The resources are powerful. D.L. Moody, great evangelist, founder of Moody Bible Institute, okay, lived right in Massachusetts. That was his home. Just as soon as I find it, I'm going to give it to you. Yeah, he called Philippians 4:19 God's blank check. Listen to it. He said, the firm is my God, the promise shall supply, the amount, all you need, the capital according to, the bank in glory, the signature by Christ Jesus. He said, the firm can never go bankrupt, the promise is absolutely certain, the amount's always sufficient, the capital is limitless, the bank cannot be robbed, and the signature is on every check. But a check is absolutely worthless unless you turn it over and endorse it. And there are so many believers living like spiritual bums and paupers because we've never endorsed God's blank check. I can do all things through him. My God shall supply all that we need. Paul said, I've learned to be content. And it may be someone here today, you don't have that contentment because you don't know the Savior. See, you'll never know the peace of God till you know the Prince of Peace. And I've got exciting news for you. God loves you. Jesus died for you. The grave couldn't hold him. He arose. If you put your trust in him today, he'll forgive your sin, wipe out your past, save your soul, give you everlasting life, home in heaven forever, and he'll come to live in you to give you the strength to live the Christian life. It doesn't make sense to turn it down. Father, thy word is precious. Thy word is living, it's life-giving. And Lord, would you help us today not just to be hearers of the word, help us to be doers of the same. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. So our heads bow before the Lord. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there's someone today, you do not know my Savior. You're not absolutely sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Thank God you can be. Thank God you can come to know him right now. Salvation demands a decision. I call it the AAA plan. Now, first A, you got to admit you're a sinner. Some people never get saved because they never get lost. They think they're okay. Number two, you must acknowledge Jesus as the only Savior from sin. Number three, you must accept him and his payment personally into your life. If you've never done that, do it right now. Pray this prayer and really mean it. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you, I admit I am a sinner. I have failed you. Tell him that. We've all failed. Now pray this. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for me and my sin and rising from the dead. I acknowledge you as the only Savior from sin. Now close your prayer. Lord Jesus, right now, I trust and accept you as my personal Savior. Come into my life. Save me now. I don't know. Somebody might have prayed that. That's the same basic decision I made when I trusted him as my Savior. If you made that decision today, prayed that, meant it, I'd love to pray for you. Not by name. I don't know your name. If I did, I wouldn't do it publicly unless you asked me. But I'd love to pray for you. So with every head bowed, if you did pray that prayer today, make that decision, so I could pray for you, would you just slip a hand up? I'll see it. I'll know why you raised your hand. I'll know you prayed, made that decision, and I will pray especially for you. I'm looking across. I do not see a hand. If there is a hand, make sure I see. I want to pray for you. Okay, we just want you to know we're here and available. See myself, pastor, any of us. Be so happy to help you. Christian, are you content with Christ? Have you found contentment in him? Is there some business you need to do with him? Do it. Father, how we thank you for the person of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for every blessing we enjoy in, through, and because of him. Seal to our hearts the truth of your word. We love you. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.